Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Once again, it is time to say, it's Super Bowl Sunday, people. And many of you might say right back to me, who cares? And yet others are looking forward to this afternoon's epic between the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. See, I know who's playing. And I could not help but notice that some of the analyzers of this game say it's going to come down to the best quarterback. We'll see. And this is where we can find a somewhat odd comparison between football and Jesus. In the very first chapter of Mark's Gospel, Jesus takes control and steps forward as the quarterback of God's kingdom, demonstrating skills of healing and preaching that attract a lot of attention. And so if there had been a local newspaper, I'm sure Jesus would be making the headlines daily. In fact, in the very first sentence of Mark's Gospel, it is a headline. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Now, it is important for us to remember that these gospel stories were all spoken out loud. No one had a Bible or a copy of the gospel like you have in your worship bulletin. And they did not hear one story today and another one next week. But the entire gospel was spoken at one time, the whole gospel of Mark. This is why lives were changed. People heard the whole story, and they wanted to join Jesus' team. This was all new to them. But I'm afraid we take these stories for granted and don't really hear sometimes the amazing words that are in them. So this first chapter grabbed people. It was a fantastic sample of what was next. Today's gospel is full of action, daring, and adventure, demonstrating the style of play that Jesus would implement through his quarterback career, being God's healer and preacher. This gospel that we just heard is in four parts, like the four quarters of a football game. The four scenes unfold. First quarter, Jesus heals the mother-in-law of Simon. It is simple and dramatic. Second quarter, because that miracle caused quite a buzz, the gospel states that all, not just some, but all who were sick or possessed were brought to him. Then there seems to be an intermission or halftime or timeout because Jesus goes out to a deserted place and prays. We need to spend time thinking about this intermission of Jesus. But we are compelled to move on to the third quarter, wherein Simon and his companions hunt for him. The word hunt, that's an aggressive word. It implies an underlying anxiousness and neediness, a bit of frustration, as they say to Jesus, "Everyone is searching for you." Then we enter the fourth quarter, and we might assume that Jesus will come out with fresh words and power to cure everyone in front of him. But he calls a different play and says, "Let us go on to neighboring towns so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." So we leave the game hearing that Jesus did in fact go to Galilee preaching and healing. Well, thank God for instant replay with this gospel. And thank God for instant replay in football, for it is an important tool, especially for referees who have to analyze if a toe touched the line when a player stretches to catch a football, or did a player's knee hit the ground before the ball squirted out. We need instant replay with this gospel to appreciate all the action involved and the message packed into a few short scenes. Scene 1, first quarter, is not simply that Jesus healed someone from a fever. There is much more to it than that. Mark chooses his words carefully, and we need to slow down and turn to the Greek to uncover a couple of things. The first is about what Jesus did. He lifted her up. But a literal translation from the Greek is actually the verb raised up. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is raised up by Jesus. A word that takes on powerful meaning in Mark's gospel because 15 chapters later, and they're listening to the whole story, they hear in chapter 16, verse 6, the same word used. And it is applied to Jesus. He was raised up from the dead. So because they heard it all at once, they would have noticed, and for these early listeners, it would have been an aha moment. The second important word is serve. After the mother-in-law was healed, she began to serve them. It was not a matter of her getting back into household chores. But the verb in the Greek is different. The word is diakoneia, from which we get the word deacon, which means one who serves. Therefore, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was the very first deacon in our church. A most noteworthy moment this is because the apostles resisted serving one another when they were followers of Jesus. In fact, we hear it later in the gospel that they even argued who would sit next to Jesus in his kingdom. So, in the message of the word serve, we hear what we're meant to do, serve one another. One of the other quarterback messages that Jesus gave his disciples related to that was, I have come to serve and not be served. Then it is intermission, halftime, and the timeout for Jesus, in that we discover the source of his power, his clarity, and his purpose. Because during his timeout, he prays. My mother used to have an iron trivet on the wall of her kitchen, and it read, sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits. Prayer is more than sitting. Prayer is more than sitting in church on a Sunday morning. When Jesus prayed, he was very intentional. He deliberately made his way in the dark early that morning to a deserted place to be with God. And Jesus did not do all the talking. We know that because of a telling scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus dropped to his knees and finally uttered out loud, not my will, but yours be done. Yet how often is it that we pray in the very opposite way? We tell God what we want, assuming that God does not fully appreciate the scope of what we're talking about. We plead in desperate ways, hoping that the intensity of our prayer might elicit God's pity or change God's mind, as if for some reason God was wanting the worst for us. I have heard people say, I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayers. Years ago, there was a young woman named Catherine who suffered from tuberculosis. She prayed and prayed to be healed and did not experience a healing. But at some point, she began to realize that she was telling God what to do instead of inviting God to do God's will in her life. So she began to pray, "Not my will, but yours be done." And as she began to do that kind of praying, she began to notice an inner change in her health, and even signs that her tuberculosis was getting better. So when Jesus prayed, he prayed for clarity, not to tell God what he thought he should do, but he stayed in prayer until he understood and accepted what he believed was next for him. So in the case of today's gospel, after his time of prayer, he knew he needed to go to neighboring towns, very different than what others had in mind for him. He chose not to stay in a cozy location where he was becoming quite a celebrity. He was not rushing ahead of God, like we sometimes do. Jesus waited and prayed, then went forth, thus ending the fourth quarter of an action-packed gospel. The apostles had assumed one type of play, but Jesus knew another move was being asked of him, and it came from deep listening. The reading from Isaiah today describes this kind of listening as a waiting on the Lord. And if we do that, we will be renewed and empowered and become a new type of player in God's kingdom. These words of Isaiah are some of the most beautiful in Scripture. "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's the game plan, my friends. You have it right there. Power comes from God. Clarity comes from God. And Jesus showed us by a play-by-play in this gospel. Number one, engage in active ministry. In other words, whatever is your calling, whatever is your role, is a way to minister, to be of service, to serve as Jesus did. Number two, retreat for prayer and reflection. All of us need to take a time out. Without a time out or half time, we can lose perspective. During a time out, we might consider listening to the coaching advice of God and not tell God how we think things should be run. Number three, expand your ministry. Innovate. Be flexible if necessary. This will come from your time out with God. Listen for a possible new direction or a new way forward in life. Listen for the essence of what matters and not what keeps you busy. In the time out with God, reflect on your circumstances and try to sense what God might be trying to creatively reveal. And lastly, number four, repeat the process. As with anything, practice, practice, practice. Then we will become team players. that can change our little worlds by action, reflection, and flexibility. So during this service on Super Bowl Sunday, right now we are in a timeout. So I pray that the rest of this service helps you hear the playbook of God in a different way, a game-changing, a life-changing way. Amen.